Every one of us, from time to time, find ourselves in a position in life where perhaps we feel trapped by circumstances. And I really believe it's a universal problem, a universal happening, and people get themselves involved in something and they think that there's no way out, or they get themselves to feeling that maybe their life isn't going the way they want it to go. Things aren't happening the way they would like them to happen. And so they feel trapped. And I feel trapped from time to time. But you know, I was made aware a few years ago that wherever we are in our station in life, for the most part, as long as we're not living a sinful life, it's the life that God has planned for us. And sometimes we can miss the mark, miss the opportunity that life, that living every day can give to us, affords to us, and we forget that God is watching over us, that He has a plan in our life. You know, I'd like to read a scripture here. It's just one verse. It's in the 19th chapter of Proverbs, and it's just the 21st verse. And it reads, "There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand." And I chose that verse to read this evening because I find myself, and I know each one of you find yourselves with maybe daydreaming and desiring something that really can never be. It's just something that happens to each one of us, I'm sure. And I heard the words in a song several years ago. I can't remember the name of the song or anything, but it was a rock and roll song. Or it wasn't rock and roll, I guess it was a folk song. And one of the words, they mentioned the term elusive butterfly. And I can't remember who sang it or anything, but I remember that term. And that term, I remembered it this week. And that's just what those things are like, those daydreaming thoughts, those ideas that we have. Vain imaginations, desires we have for ourselves. They're just elusive butterflies. A pretty thought that just can never be obtained. You know, I can't help but feel and look forward to more times in my life when I'm going to have these thoughts and these ideas and these things that maybe I'd like to do with my life. be something that I'll never be. When I was younger, I thought that I wanted to be maybe a great athlete, you know, but it's just an elusive butterfly. It just never comes around. And you have ideas for yourself of success in life. You know, I feel like we can miss a big opportunity in life if we don't realize what's around us every day. If we don't realize that we are where God wants us to be. That things are happening the way God's planned them to happen in our lives. And it's a testimony, really. It's a testimony. It's in Psalms. I looked it up just before I got up here, and I thought I would really like to read it. And it's in the 37th chapter of Psalms, the 25th verse, and it reads like this: I have been young, and now I'm old, and yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Now this psalmist, I suppose, could have been encompassed about by his ideas, perhaps, of old age. Now, I hate to pick that as an example, I really do. Because it's not the example, really, or the things that I'm really after tonight. It's just one aspect of it, you know. But he could have missed such an opportunity. Such an opportunity for a testimony. And I wonder how many times that phrase has been mentioned. And I'm sure many of you have heard it and remembered it and reminded yourself of it. And he could have lost the opportunity of that testimony of supporting someone else if he hadn't realized just what had happened in his life. Perhaps could have been swallowed up in his desires for youth again. You know, there's kind of a sad song that was put out recently by, what's that comedian's name, an old comedian, I can't remember his name, George Burns. And he put a song out, I think somebody else wrote it for him, and wanted him to sing it. And it was about, you know, he was young once, and now he's old, and he's never going to turn the young girls' heads anymore, and just kind of a pitiful song, really. Kind of a pitiful song, an elusive butterfly. But you know, sometimes the sooner that we realize what these thoughts are in our mind from time to time, the better off we'll be, and the easier life will be. I like to read another verse of scripture here in Proverbs, and the verse that I'm working up to will be the last verse that I'm going to read. It's in the 9th chapter of Proverbs, and it reads, "Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her 7 pillars. She hath killed her beasts. She hath mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table. She hath set forth her maidens. She crieth upon the highest places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, Come, eat of my bread, and drink of my wine, which I have mingled." And this is the verse: "Forsake the foolish, and live. And go in the way of understanding." You know, our duty, our responsibility in life, our destiny in life is always before us. It's always in front of us. It sits beside us. It's with us all the time. And so we have to be on the lookout constantly for the way in which God wants us to serve Him, because it's always there. And life goes on, and as we grow older in life, the challenges become bigger in life. And hopefully we gain wisdom and understanding along the way. But you know, as a young father, I can easily see how easy it would be to bypass such a beautiful privilege and opportunity. Well, the other day, I was mowing the lawn, and Evelina came outside, and I was carrying Aaron around on my shoulder trying to mow the lawn, hanging on to him with one hand and push the lawnmower with the other. And it was kind of hard, you know, and my neck was getting sore, but Aaron was really having a good time. And, you know, I think the problem, I think, with young men more than it is with young fathers than it is with young mothers, and that is not taking advantage of those early years in their children's life, and how easy it is to sometimes think, well, when they get older, I'll spend a little more time with them. When they, and it just doesn't work out that way. I know it doesn't work out that way. And those little unpleasant tasks like changing dirty diapers, and how a menial task it may seem, the repeated just being there with your child, him knowing that you're there, he gets used to you being there, and then when he grows older, well, he can appreciate you more, rather than having to be a shock to him when you start taking interest in him. You know, it's a very important thing just to be around your children when you're young, and I suppose that is more than anybody's fault. It's young fathers, not fault, but a problem. But that's just one more thing that we can look beyond the mark, and as young men being full of vitality and having dreams and ideals in our life, we desire to accomplish things in our life, and we can sure miss the mark, because your destiny, like I said, sits right beside you, and the people that you can influence are right beside you. They are the most important ones in your life. I'd like to go to Timothy now and read something else where sometimes we can miss the mark. And it's in 1 Timothy in the 6th chapter. I think I'll skip some of the first part of my reading there. And I'll begin with the 5th verse. It's kind of an awkward verse to start with there, but speaking about individuals who are problem people and are worldly individuals in those few verses right there, in the 5th verse, is just continuing on with it. And here, Paul makes a statement. He says, "Perverse disputations among men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth. Now these men are doing this. They're supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself, but godliness with contentment is great gain." And there is wisdom and understanding and knowledge. And of course, the most important word there, I suppose, is contentment. Contentment. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which draw men in destruction, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Now there again, see, it's this idea. It's a verse that's misquoted so oftentimes. And here the statement is made, is the love of money is the root of all evil, not money. And it's a Lucy's butterfly, like I was just mentioning. It's something that you have in your mind, in your heart, a desire you have in your mind. Something that so many people, the greatest part of humanity, will never be able to satisfy. The love of money. Which while some covet after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, hope, patience, meekness. And you know, my sermon tonight is going to be short, but I want it to be easily understood about these things. You know, we, in life, trying to decide what to serve and what to do, I think perhaps the statement that is made, that our Master made, to be like Him. To be like Him. It's so applicable. Because we can look at Him and some might say, well, He was a great teacher, but that's not what He was talking about. And He was a powerful and a mighty man. And I honestly don't believe that's what He's talking about. But the man, when he walked through his life, was a servant every day of his life. wherever he was, whether he was walking down the road or by a well, on a mountainside, it just didn't make any difference. Wherever he was, he found his destiny. His destiny was wherever he was. It was always with him, and it's always with you. Your destiny in life is always with you and in front of you. Now I'd like to read in Luke a beautiful passage of Scripture, a very meaningful passage of Scripture, to me anyway. So oftentimes I think Christians, especially Christians, maybe new Christians, young Christians, they have a desire to do great things. And let's see, Luke in the 8th chapter is what I'm headed for. And this story here is about a young man. I assume he was a young man. Maybe he wasn't a young man. But he was a man, and you know the story well. He had the demons in him, and the demons' name, because they were many demons, they were called Legion. And the Lord came along and cast these demons into swine, and the swine went off in the ocean. And when the man was free of this, in the 38th and 39th verses of the 8th chapter, the man, it says here, now the man, out of whom the devils were departed, besought him, that's Christ, that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, return to thine own house, and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. And there it was again. His destiny in life, his mission in life, was with the people that he knew. His responsibility and duty was with the people that he knew. And his joy was with the people that he knew. Rather than something that perhaps he wanted himself to go and be with the master, it was a good desire. You know, I'd like to go again in Luke here, the 18th chapter. Read 15th verse here. It says, and they brought unto him also infants, that he might touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. Now see, that's the way we could be if we're not careful. We can miss our opportunities. We can miss what the Lord has planned for us to do in life. But the master had great wisdom. Now these men, I'm sure they were thinking, now he's the master of men. He's the son of God. He doesn't have time for such things. He's got important things to do. And we can feel that way. We have important things to do and bypass one of the greatest opportunities in our life if we follow our elusive dreams. But Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. Now you know there's a mystery about children. And I can read much more in this than maybe some people can, and maybe you won't like what I'm going to read into it. But I can see where infants are, if you'll excuse the term, just for lack of a better word, are useless, really. You know, they have no function in life except just to grow up, you know. And it's a poor word, I realize that, but it's true. They have no use. And yet, I want to read just one more scripture. It has something to do with infants. And this is found in the 9th chapter of Mark, beginning with the 33rd verse. It goes like this. And he came to Capernaum. Being in the house, he asked them, "What was it that you disputed among yourselves by the way?" But they held their peace. For by the way, they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12 and saith unto them, "If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all." And he took a little child, and he took a child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, "Whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth, whosoever shall receive me receiveth not me, but him that sent me." Now the point I'm getting at there is this, you know, our duty and our responsibility is not to the great things in this world, but to the little things in this world. You know, the greatest among us is a master. He took a little child, no doubt with a little child, and I hope I can get this out right, but you know, little children are the kings and the queens and the noblemen and the princes. You know, in a king's court, all of his subjects serve the king, and they do whatever the king wants. They do whatever the king or the queen or the prince or the princess or the nobleman, they do whatever they want, and the servants yield to their every desire. And to a great extent, that's the way it is in the kingdom of God. Those who are strong are the servants. Those who have knowledge are the servants. And they are here to serve, not to be served. And, you know, I heard Don Bentz, he made this statement, I think it was the last sermon that he preached here, and he said about the 50-50 proposition that we have in a marriage, and then he made the statement again, a very good point, that sometimes it's 80-20 and 75-25 and 100-0. And that's the way it is in the kingdom of God. Each one of us, you know, it's easy sometimes to look around to see someone, perhaps that is weak, and to look down on them. And yet, brothers and sisters, when you look at someone who is weak, that's the person that's the king or the queen. And you're just a servant. The little children are the kings and the queens, and those who have need are the kings and the queens of this world. And those of us who have no need, it's necessary for us to give when they cannot give. And those of us who have no need, it's necessary for us to give when they cannot give. I tell you, it's true in every situation. In the kingdom of God in particular. Because we have to give for our brothers and sisters. We have to be able to give of ourselves to make up for the weaknesses of others. From the times when, and we all, and it's going to happen to every single one of us. I'm so convinced of that. And it has happened to every single one of us, and we're all going to go astray to a certain extent. But it's up to everyone else to treat the individual as a king, as someone deserving of ministration, someone deserving of help and of love and of compassion, someone deserving of everything that the gospel has to offer. I like our master taught in a much different way than men of the world. And the things that were great to him were not great to the world, and the things that were important to him were not important to the world. And so in the gospel of Christ, we have to sometimes completely reverse our thinking, our way of thinking. And these are some of the ways. And I think I'm going to stop, because I knew I was going to have a short message this evening, and But I knew what I wanted to say, and I knew that's a very important thing. And I just want to say again, don't miss the opportunity that you have every day. And God hasn't forsaken us. He hasn't forsaken you. And you're not trapped. You're where the Lord wants you to be. And the circumstances in your life, they're the circumstances to a great extent that the Lord allows and causes to happen. And so when we get into situations in our life, perhaps troubles and trials, you just sometimes have to be patient and wait. And you have to look at it. You know, there are all different kinds of ways of looking at things. They're looking at things in a pessimistic attitude or a realistic attitude, and they're different, really. An optimistic attitude, a never-say-die attitude, which is the attitude we must have. Never say die. In every situation, we have to look, how can I use this to benefit me? What does God want me to do with this situation in my life? How can I use it to help someone else?
Thank you.